the focus that I want to bring to us for just a few moments, and then we're going to worship in our giving. And then we're going to move into a time of personal ministry and body ministry. Because we want to be intentional to create atmosphere and then step into what God is doing intentionally. Yes. So I want to say to those of you that are happen to be watching, you really do want to get here, because some of the things that God's going to allow us to do, we're not going to broadcast that. Because we don't need anybody scrutinizing, and we don't need anybody misinterpreting the move of God and the power of God. And so we've learned to operate in wisdom. I've learned to operate in wisdom. Some of the people that I relate to nationally, we have numerous conversations around how the media will create its own narrative. You do have to know that, Facebook is part of that media and part of that narrative as well. So you got to use it with wisdom. That's a whole nother message for another time. What I've realized over these last few weeks and is that we have found ourselves under attack. Personally and corporately. Sometimes that attack, oftentimes that attack is because of what you're doing, because you're doing what God has called you to do, and there's always going to be pushback. But other times, that attack is because of what you're about to do and what you're about to see. That the enemy wants to try to get to you before you can get there. Because he knows if you ever get there, if you ever get in that place in your faith, if you ever get in that place in your trust, if you ever get in that place with your declarations, if you ever get in that place with proclamations, if you ever get in that place of purpose and destiny, he knows that you're going to be someone he's going to have to reckon with. And so I'm speaking to some of you now to help you recognize that what you're dealing with to some degree has to do with what you're doing. But here's what I know about what Holy Spirit is saying to me. Son, it's because of what you're about to do. It's because of what you're about to see. It's because of who you're about to become. See, some people will never see you different, Gary. That's just people. But God sees you in the completeness of who he created you to be. Yeah. Sometimes you need to just be able to say to folks, if you really got a glimpse of who I am, you'd be scared. Because the devil is. I have felt like I've been in an unrelenting battle from the moment I signed for this building. I take back, I have felt like I have been in an unrelenting battle since I signed for this building. And yet I will stand, and I stand resolute that what God has purposed to do through me, through us here, will happen. I need about seven of y'all just to clap your hands, even if you're not here the whole time, you're here right now. Now, I need you to understand something. The place of confidence that I'm talking about is a place that you must arrive in concerning your purpose, your destiny, your call. When I get on a plane and I fly to Greenville, South Carolina, and then I'm driven an hour and 15 minutes to get to Abbeville, South Carolina, I am absolutely confident and sure that I'm on assignment. The things that they ask me to participate in, the things that they ask me to lead, I could not do it without the confidence of first and foremost, He who is inside me. But secondly, that I was born for such a time as this. And this assignment is part of who He has made me to be. So I've learned to recognize the pushback of the enemy. It would have been most easy to stay on the corner of Crescentville and 747. It would have been very easy to move somewhere else a lot smaller with a lot less weight of responsibility. But did anybody read the post that I reposted on Facebook on Friday? Okay, don't act like y'all ain't on Facebook, because I see y'all. No, Apostle, I don't go on Facebook too often. No, wait a minute. I see a whole lot of y'all posting some really good stuff. You know, every now and then something will come up out of your history or memory or something, and Facebook will ask you, like, do you want to repost this? So I posted this. It says 22 hours ago. And I said this. This is a very timely word. If you are being challenged in any way in this season, this word is a reminder to you we are unstoppable. But this is what it says. The opposition that you may be facing will be used to equip and prepare you for the weight of the opportunity that is to come. Keep your focus and perspective on being a kingdom ambassador. The kingdom of God is still open for business. So here's a missing piece for some of us. You're going along, things seem to be going okay, and then things start to happen, and then all of a sudden now you're having to navigate through a season and some things that are now causing you to have to exert more of yourself. More focus, more determination. It's like being in the gym, and you got free weights, and You've seen the guy that's laying on the bench, and he's got spotters on both sides. And he's laying there, and he's got his hands on the bar. And they're spotting to make sure he doesn't drop it. And he lifts it up, and he brings it back down. He does that a couple times. But then all of a sudden, the spotters decide, we're going to add more weight without telling him we're adding more weight. Then all of a sudden, now he's lifting and he's realizing something. And they're saying, you can do it, you can do it, come on, you can do it, you can do it. And he does it. And then they do that again. Then when he gets done and he stands up and he looks at the weights, he realizes, I was lifting more than I thought I could ever lift. That's the way Holy Ghost works with you and I. That's the way Holy Spirit is working with some of us right now. Now, that weightlifter, then from that point on, he gets to make the decision. Do I want to continue to work with that weight, or do I want to try to go back? My encouragement is, we never retreat. We never go back. So we came into our year with this theme, aggressive kingdom advancement. And we are advancing. I am. You are too. But it's not without dealing with attacks of the enemy. So I want to talk to you for the next 20 minutes or so on staying focused while under attack. Staying focused while under attack. In the book of Acts, Jesus shares with the disciples and the apostles that they are to wait until they have received the power of Holy Spirit. One translation says, wait until you are endued with power. And they did. And once they received that power, because you and I, we've got to continue to remind ourselves that any effort outside of Holy Spirit being a part of it most often is futile. It never accomplishes all of what God intended, if anything at all, of what he intended. So Jesus knew that if they were going to walk out, are you leaving me, son? You got to go? Yeah, you was flowing. Were you flowing with me? I felt a little less something, right? Would you thank God for Eric? If you need a break, though, you okay? All right, just stay in D flat, though. Jesus knew that if they were going to fulfill what he called them to do, they would not be able to do it without the power of God. They would not be able to do it without the same power that raised Christ from the dead, Holy Ghost power. Say, Holy Ghost power.
Holy Ghost power.
That's what we're beginning now to experience, Holy Ghost power. And the more we acknowledge him in our midst, the more we give way and the more that he will do. It's in Acts, the third chapter, where Peter and John, now walking out their calling, heal a man at Gate Beautiful. The man had been lame all his life. And while that man was there expecting something, he had no idea what was coming his way. And Peter basically said, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we want to give it to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Miracles are going to become a norm here at the embassy. Word is going to spread. If you need healing, if you need deliverance, just get to the embassy. I want you to understand, the more that we collectively align ourselves with that mindset and that perspective, that this location, this building, this property is a little bit of heaven on earth. That when you come through these gates, you've landed into the, you've come onto the property of the kingdom of God. And everything that's available in the kingdom is available at the embassy. Now, I'm telling you, that's the perspective and the mindset that we must have. We're not coming to church. We are the church. We're going to the embassy to assemble ourselves together so that we can accomplish more together than we ever could by ourselves. I happened to be watching last night with my dear friend Keith the end of the movie Endgames, the adventure Endgames. And I just so love that scene that when they all come through those portals, I'd liken that to just coming out of eternity into time and space. And Captain America says, Avengers, assemble. And I need you to know that that is the cry of Holy Spirit right now. Saints, assemble. Body of Christ, assemble. So, don't think it's strange, the attack that has come, because what we have purposed to represent is truly the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Not a church, not a building, but the example of an embassy. That if you go anywhere in a foreign land that has an American embassy, an embassy, a United States of America embassy, and you're a citizen of the United States of America, all right, you may be in a foreign land, but as soon as you cross that threshold, as soon as you come in that gate, you are on sovereign ground. And it's just like you were transported right back into the United States of America in that one step across that gate. Through that gate. Can you see it with me? As news begins to spread, get to the embassy. You're afflicted in your body and the doctors say they can't help you. Get to the embassy. You're struggling in your life, in any area of your life, and you can't seem to get a breakthrough. Get to the embassy. Because there you will find God. You will find the power of God and all that the kingdom of God has to offer. Men, I don't know if you all really understand what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? You catching it, you grabbing it. Yes. See, you could have been somewhere else in some other kind of program. You're in the kingdom. You're in the embassy. And whatever your journey has been, I declare to you today that this is your day of victory. And this is your turnaround. And moving forward into the life that God has intended for you. That's why you're here. That's why you're sitting there. And I speak blessings over your life. I thank God for breaking everything and anything off of your life that's been a hindrance to you. I speak healing to your bodies, healing to your minds, healing to your emotions. And I speak healing to relationships that the enemy has tried to steal from you. I declare that this is your season of restoration and restitution in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church. A few of y'all need to say, I received that for myself right now. Now, the man that was lamed is healed, and they all walk in together. I so love the visual in my mind. It's like he got up, and Peter put his hand on his shoulder and said, come on, man, let's go in here and see what's going on. You've been sitting out here for all these years. You ever been in here? No, I've never. Come on, we're going to go see what's in here. They walk in. Everybody's amazed because they know this guy. But others are angry. And they had the audacity to just say, who are you guys? They were amazed at their confidence because they looked at them as uneducated. Now, education goes a long way. It really does. And many of you here at Ayers, I thank God for you. Many of you are highly educated, master's degrees, doctor's degrees. I got a high school diploma. And I'm just saying, it's like, don't let that diploma fool you. I got a degree from Holy Ghost University. Majoring in faith. Majoring in trust. So they're answering them, and they say to them, hey, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to beat on y'all a little bit. We're going to make sure you do not say anything again in the name of that guy. Because they thought that once Jesus died, that it was over, just like others that came before him. But they were wrong. And so I'm paraphrasing so I can get to where I want to go here. And so they tell them, you know, threaten them, you are not to speak this name ever again. And basically they said, look, we just need you to be real clear. You can tell us that, but that's not happening. When we leave here, we're going to do what we've been doing. We're going to talk about him. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to heal the sick. And we're going to say, in Jesus' name. Come on, say in Jesus' name. You see, we're in a culture right about now where people are afraid to say the name. Just say the name. There is no other name whereby men must be or can be saved but the name of Jesus. And so here's where I'm going to pick up. So they left. When they left, they were shook by the experience, much like many of us when we go through something. You got to know this flesh is pretty powerful when it's not under subjection. Okay, y'all, that was like three. Yeah, let me say that again. Because that was powerful just in saying it. Yeah. Your will, your mind, your intellect, your flesh can have you feel in all kind of ways when it's not subjected, when it's not submitted to Holy Spirit. So this is where the story goes, and then I'm going to give you 7 points real quick as to how we stay focused while under attack. How you stay focused while under attack. In Acts 4:23, I'm reading from the Message translation there. Can you see it there? As soon as Peter and John were let go, they went to their friends and told them what the high priest and religious leaders had said. Hearing the report, they lifted their voices in wonderful harmony, one accord, in prayer. Excuse me. Strong God, you made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. By the Holy Spirit, you spoke through the mouth of your servant and our father David. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, peoples? Peoples meaning nations as well. Earth's leaders push for position. Potentates meet for summit talks. The God deniers, the Messiah defiers. For in fact, they did meet Herod and Pontius Pilate with nations and peoples. Even Israel itself met in this very city to plot against your holy son Jesus, the one you made Messiah, to carry out the plans you long ago set in motion. And now, they're at it again. Take care of their threats and give your servants fearless confidence in preaching your message as you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. While they were praying, not afterwards, I like this. God doesn't wait for the period. He doesn't wait for the exclamation point. He doesn't wait for anything. He doesn't wait for anybody. It's all in his hands. While they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence. Say boldness. So I'm going to give you 7 considerations of how to stay focused when in battle. Number one, they acknowledged the opposition, but they didn't stay focused on it. They refocused their attention on God and declared his greatness. See, we can't act like it's not there when something is there. I've been listening to Man in the Mirror recently. We actually played a version of it down in Abbeville. You might ask, well, why would you do that? Well, because there are some people who love God, love people, but they're saying, do we have to keep talking about race? Do we have to keep talking about race? Do we have to keep talking about race? And so we tried to help them understand why we needed to. But there's a line in the song, Man in the Mirror, that says, who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? See, you can't pretend something away. They acknowledged the opposition because it shook them up. But they weren't willing to stay there. And you see, one of the things for you and I, as we endeavor to stay focused while under attack, is acknowledge the opposition, but don't stay focused there. Focus, refocus your attention on God and begin to declare His greatness. Begin to declare His power. There's something about you and I speaking the word, acknowledging the word, as we're still going through, that begins to recalibrate us. It'll shift your thinking. It will deal with how you're feeling in some ways. The second thing is that they reminded themselves that this attack was nothing new. This attack was nothing new. You'll see that that Psalms passage, which they quoted, this is from a different translation here. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They're quoting the word to say, and remember the line said, and now they're at it again. How many of you have found yourself in a season where you're dealing with something and you're recognizing, oh, this is, I've been through this. I've seen this before. Okay, so I'm raising my hand, like three of y'all raise your hand. Okay, are y'all listening to me? I need you to stay engaged, okay? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You found yourself dealing with something, then you recognize, wait a minute, this ain't nothing new. This is not anything new. As a matter of fact, you will find as you are walking out what God has purposed to do in your life that you will often have to deal with the opposition. You have to know that from level to level, degree to degree, that opposition may become greater, but it's still from the same source. You have to recognize that it's one of the dynamics of walking out what God has purposed to do in your life. They reminded themselves that this attack was nothing new, but the stakes are higher now. And the attacks can come in a way to really try to throw you off. But they were clear that we've seen this before. Number three, they reminded themselves that God is in charge. And what happened, He permitted. You remember they said, and what they did to Jesus said, you scripted that out long ago. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and God knows your end from the beginning. How many of you believe that your steps are ordered by the Lord? How many of you allow your steps to be ordered by the Lord? So I need you to think about that for just a moment, because where you find yourselves right now in the midst of an attack or opposition, somehow God walked you that way. You know that song, Walk This Way? Yeah. It's like God said, walk this way. Walk this way. Sometimes we forget that He said, walk this way. Go this way. And what happens is often the attack starts to weigh on us. And it can, if we're not careful, move us to that place of doubt. It can move us to a place where I don't want to walk this way anymore. I've learned over the years, by God's grace, to recognize when I am trying to find the convenient way out. I'm not saying that I've always done it perfectly, but because I've endeavored to live that way, it built stamina in me and capacity in me to be able, by the power of Holy Ghost, to carry weight that I never could have imagined. They remind themselves that God is in charge And what happened? He permitted. Number four, they refocused on their call and assignment and trusted God to handle their threats, handle the opposition, handle the attack. There's nothing about the armor of God that has to do with our backside. And the reason why is because He got us. He is our rear guard. He is the one standing behind us. And all we have to do is keep moving forward, keep forging ahead. They refocused on their call and assignment and trusted God to handle their threats. It's all throughout the scriptures where God speaks concerning His people and says, I'm going to lead you into the promised land. He says, and I'm going to deal with the enemy. I'm going to deal with your enemies. You remember the passage with Joshua when they're going forth and they're taking out one nation after another. And the scripture says, more died from the hailstones that came down from heaven than they killed themselves. They focused on their call and assignment and trusted God to handle their threats. God, we're trusting you. Going back to that verse again, it says, and now they're at it again. Take care of their threats and give your servants fearless confidence to preach your message. As you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders done in the name of your servant, holy servant Jesus. Father, we don't have time to be dealing with them. You've given us assignment. You've told us what to do. We're asking you, handle the threat. Have you ever just prayed that prayer? Handle the threat. I got to stay focused. Handle the threat. I got to keep moving. Handle the threat. It is not unlike God for you in seasons of your lives, for all of us in seasons of our lives, where He says, you do this, I'll do that. He made that clear with Moses when He brought them to the Red Sea. And all the people said, you brought us out here to die out here in the middle of this. And Moses, having not completely understood how God was moving and wanting to relating to him, turns around and cries out to God like, look, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And God says, why are you crying out to me? You turn around and stretch that rod out. We're going to part this sea. And you're going to lead them over on dry ground. You handle them. You handle the people. You handle your people. You handle your stuff. You handle your assignment. And I'm going to deal with the threat. Now, don't get bothered when you see them coming after you. You just keep moving. You just keep going. You keep your focus of getting on the other side. You keep your focus on those who I've given you to lead. Keep your focus on those who I'm bringing to you. I'm going to handle the enemy. You have to know he may get close, but he'll never get that close. Sometimes if we're not careful, we focus so much on the opposition, we focus so much on the attack, that it causes us to be deterred from staying focused on what God is doing and what He's called us to do. They refocused on their call and assignment and trusted God to handle their threats. Number five, they asked for fearless confidence and that He would work miracles, healing, signs, and wonders as confirmation. They're saying, give us the boldness to keep walking. Give me the boldness to keep walking this out. And we trust you to work healings and miracles and signs that confirm and affirm that this is
the assignment. This is my assignment. And so don't think it's strange that now we're starting to experience that in this house, in this season, because God intends for you and I to spread the word abroad. You need to start bringing your family. You need to start bringing your friends. You need to start bringing your enemies right on up in here in the embassy, because this is where they can find God. Now, is it exclusive? Not absolutely, but one thing for sure is I'm confident that he's here. I'm confident that he's here. I'm confident that he's at 621 South Erie Boulevard, 550 South 12th Street. I'm telling you, he's here. I need just a few folk to get excited with what I'm saying right now, because it's that level of confidence. Listen to me. It's that level of confidence, already an expectation, that causes God to say, I got to do something. They done put me out there. If you get to the embassy, God's going to meet you. It ain't about us. If you get to the embassy, God's going to meet you. He's going to meet you right where you're at, and he's going to go beyond your needs. If you can get to the embassy, God's going to bless you. Not the Heirs Covenant Church. Yeah, we are the ecclesia. But see, that's the challenge for many. They're turned off with church. We're talking about kingdom. If you can get to the embassy, when you walk in, don't think about walking in a church. When you drive up on the parking lot, don't think about driving up to a church. You're driving up into the kingdom. You're driving up into a kingdom embassy. If you can get to the embassy, if you come to the embassy, I'm talking to somebody that's watching right now, I guarantee you God's going to meet you. He'll meet you when you turn in on the property. Not when you come in the door. He's going to meet you out there and then escort you right on in into the greater manifestation of his power. They ask for fearless confidence. Their confidence had been shaken. They really needed God to assure and reassure. And you have to know that often when you are under attack, all of us need that kind of assurance. It's okay to say, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. Because right now the scale is tipping. I've been dealing with this, I've been dealing with this, I've been dealing with that, I've been dealing with that, and right now I'm a little weary in this journey. I need some fearless confidence. I need the scale to be tipped back the other way. I'm talking to somebody right now. I'm talking to somebody right now, including myself. I'm not excluded from any message I ever teach. Matter of fact, I hear it before you hear it. I'm saying yes and amen before you do. So I cry out and say, God, give me fearless confidence. What I see, I don't know how to navigate through that. Give me fearless confidence.